Well, years back when I started preaching through Colossians, you know, I looked ahead and thought, you know, if I just drag this small letter out to the Colossians through the year 2021, I could preach on the husband and wife relationship right on Valentine's Day. I'm being facetious here, but that way I could simply preach to the choir, since love is in the air, as they say. Wives would be perfectly submitting to their husbands without any strings attached, because husbands would have already shown their sacrificial love and Christ-like leadership to their wives by buying them flowers, cards, chocolates, and saying, "I love you." Maybe even taking them out to a nice restaurant like Carl's Jr. or something like that. No one would have to be convicted of their shortcomings as husbands or wives. It could just be one of those feel-good, you know, fluffy, hallmarky, sentimental sources of encouragement. You know, maybe I'd only need to preach for 7 minutes, since there would be not much to say with all that love in the air. You know, couples would be too distracted with their perfect soulmate anyways. Why try to tell them something they've already perfectly know and apply to their lives? And then a wonderful ice and snowstorm came and service was canceled, and so my plans to preach right on Valentine's Day was snuffed out. And so instead of only preaching for 7 minutes, I thought I would give you 7 headings instead, since all that love that is produced by Valentine's Day has come and gone. When you're talking about the role of the husband, there really are 3 primary responsibilities that we find in Scripture for the husband. It's easy to remember if you say leader, lover, learner. We are called to be leaders of our wives, lovers of our wives, and learners of our wives. If you had the privilege of being at Dylan and Gloria's wedding not too long ago, you would have heard from Pastor Moses a sermon directly about that. What the husband is called to be for his wife. We are called to be leaders because we are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Because we are men, because we are husbands, we have a position of delegated authority and leadership. And we are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, something we will discuss in a few weeks. And if you were to look at 1 Peter 3, verse 7, you would see that we are called to be learners of our wives. That we're called to live with our wives in an understanding way. And it's so important that we do that, that if we don't, God will turn a deaf ear to our prayers. And so the responsibility of the husband that I want to hone in on further this morning is that we as husbands are required by God to lead our wives. You remember the context of the book of Colossians, where Paul is writing to these believers, showing them that Christ is the supreme one, that he is the absolute best, that he's the firstborn over all creation, the firstborn from the resurrection of the dead, that he is absolutely supreme. And because of that, he is absolutely sufficient. And so God in his kindness in Christ, and as believers in Christ, we have all the sufficiency that we need in him. And we can live for God. We're called in chapter 2, verse 6, to, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That is, walk in our relationship as we are united with him, united with Christ, and submissive to him as Lord. We are to walk out our daily lives in Christ. And part of that walk is what you find in the home, is living in Christ as husband and wife, as father and mother, and as child. And just as we have sufficiency for all aspects of our Christian life in Christ, so we have it in the home as well. And you'll notice that as you look at Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18, I'll read through chapter 4, verse 1. And notice as I read the seven references to the Lord demonstrating that God determines what the home must look like. And that everything is to be done in submission to our sovereign Lord. Colossians 3, verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Everything done in the sphere of the lordship of Christ. It is Christ that determines the home and the way it must go, not the culture. And as we come to the role of the husband, we see that the husband is placed in a leadership position. We see that even from the context here in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 18, wives are called to be subject to their husbands, which would then mean that husbands are there to lead their wives. And as you see the three pairs that are given, wives and husbands, verse 18 and 19, children, then fathers, 20 and 21, slaves, then masters, the rest of the passage there, you see that those who are under authority are dressed first, and then those who are in authority, God-given authority, are then addressed. As husbands, we are called to lead our wives. We have been given a delegated authority. Other passages as well explicitly state it, like Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 11. You can go there on your own time. We'll hit some of those passages throughout. Show us that as men, as husbands, we are called to lead our wives. And so we discussed last time, a few weeks ago, that we need to lead our wives in such a way as to fulfill the purpose of marriage. We want to be leaders who lead our wives in such a way that we honor God with our marriage as He has called us to. Remember that one of the purposes of marriage was to worship God, was to glorify God. God created us. We have been created by Him and for Him. And so therefore, as the one who created marriage, our first and primary goal is to glorify God. Men, we need to make sure that as far as it depends upon us, that we are leading our brides in worshiping Christ, not only by being here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but all throughout each day in our walk together. Another purpose is companionship. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says in the week of creation, the only thing that He said that was not good was that for man to be alone. And so He provided wives to provide companionship as a helpmate, as one who would complement the man perfectly. so that we could live together and work together in close communion with one another. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see that the man is called to leave and weave and cleave with his wife. That would be that we need to lead our wives in commitment. We need to be the ones who initiate that commitment to our wives and so fulfill one of the purposes of marriage. And then finally, we saw that one of the purposes, according to Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32, for marriage is to display Christ and the church. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, and wives are to submit to their husbands as the church is to submit to Christ. One of the purposes is to demonstrate the relationship of Christ and the church. In other words, God puts a living example of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ right in front of our kids, the husband and wife relationship. And so based on this reality and what is stated there in Ephesians 5, our leadership needs to be Christ-like. Not only do we need to lead in such a way as to fulfill the purpose of marriage, the way then that we do that is to lead as Christ has led, since we are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And so I have for you at least seven areas of Christ-like leadership. You could find more. Stuart Scott has 11 points when it comes to leadership in his book, The Exemplary Husband. I just want to cover seven things that we must implement as husbands if we are going to honor Christ in our home. And so if you're following the titles for the sermons here in Colossians 3, it is the Christ-honoring home. It starts with the husband. Number one, Christ-like leadership is submissive to God. Christ-like leadership is submissive to God. As we have seen all throughout the Gospel of John, that Jesus in his humanity completely surrendered himself to the will of the Father. Turn over to John chapter 4 with me. John chapter 4. Particularly verse 34. Jesus and his disciples are heading to Galilee, and so they pass through Samaria, which was the quickest route. And as the disciples were out going and getting food, according to chapter 4, verse 8, they went into the city to buy food. Jesus stops in at the well and preaches the gospel to the Samaritan woman. He tells her that he has living water, that he himself is living water, and he, in his kindness, reveals the first I am statement to a lady. And it's while he's there, the disciples come back and say, hey, you need to eat. You need to eat. And look at this, starting verse 1. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one bought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. In other words, Jesus voluntarily submitted himself to the will of the Father all throughout his earthly ministry, all the way to the point of the cross, as we see in John 17, that he says, I've accomplished the will of God. I've accomplished the will of the Father in his prayer. Everything that Jesus did was in complete obedience to God. And so if we are going to be husbands who are Christ-like, we must understand that the role that God has given to us is a delegated authority. It's in complete submission to God. Philippians 2 even speaks of Jesus being obedient even to the point of death. And so it is with our authority. It is delegated authority. That is to say, your authority as a husband is limited. We only have the authority that God has given to us as husbands. We don't have the right to say or do or require just anything. Literally, it is measured out to us to carry out God's will. Therefore, the way we use our authority must be derived from God's word. You want to know how to lead your wife. You want to know how to be the husband that God wants you to be. Then you must come to the word of God and submit yourself to it when it comes to leading your wives. As husbands, we cannot force our wives to sin. And if we use our leadership to course the sin of our wives, they have the God-given right to respectfully disobey our demands. We need to make sure that we are leading in submission to God. And really, God determines the extent and application of our leadership. The commands that we actually are given as those who are the head of the wife come in the form of loving our wives and honoring our wives. From Ephesians chapter 5, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And 1 Peter 3, we are called to honor our wives and live with them in an understanding way. And so that must be the extent of our leadership. We don't go beyond what God has mandated in his word. And let me just say here, by the order found both in Colossians, you get the husband and wife relationship, and then the parent-children relationship, and then slaves and masters, and then in Ephesians it's the same thing. And the climactic attention that the marriage relationship gets in the creation week, I'll tell you this, men, our number one area of stewardship as husbands is our relationship with our wives. That delegated authority mandates that it takes primacy in our lives. Secondly, not only is Christ-like leadership in submission to God, but Christ-like leadership is servant-hearted leadership. When it comes to leading our wives, it's not a dictatorship. It's not domineering. It's like elders who are called to lead the church. We must not lord it over them, but rather prove to be examples to the flock. It's not a controlling type of thing. It's not a superiority complex, and it's not self-seeking. In other words, God's call on our lives to lead our wives is not about us. God gave us this position in order to serve our wives, to serve them in their best interests. I think of Mark chapter 10, verse 45, as I quote this, turn to Matthew chapter 20. Mark 10, 45, where Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the parallel passage, same exact thing is stated there in Matthew 20. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Up to that statement, notice what he says in verses 25 through 27. Matthew 20, 25 through 27. Just after the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with with their mother and saying, hey, who gets to sit on your right and on your left? Saying, who's going to be the best in the kingdom? Jesus says, hearing this, verse 24, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see here that Christ gives this kind of versus statement. He contrasts worldly leadership with godly leadership. And here you have the greatest statement on leadership ever made. You see, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, but it's not that way among you. We don't come to just simply dictate our way, but rather we are to serve as models and examples. We exercise authority humbly, looking to be servants and slaves. In fact, you want to be God's kind of husband, you must see yourself that way. In verse 26, whoever wishes to become great among you, that is great in God's eyes, shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. We have to see ourselves, men, as slaves. Slaves of God and slaves of our wives. Seeking to serve them wholeheartedly. Giving of ourselves fully to them. It's like Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you would turn with me there. Paul uses the transcendent, marvelous doctrine of the incarnation of Christ as an illustration of what we must be like as Christians towards one another. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ, who had the highest position of all and his throne in heaven, entered humanity, becoming a slave. As husbands, we want to initiate this kind of servant-heartedness in our home. We need to consider our wives as more important than ourselves, preferring her, making our free time all about her. Making your intimacy all about her. And if there's something that she would rather do and you have the means to do it, and it's not sinful, do it. Take the opportunity that God has given to you to invest in her, serving her with your life. Number three, Christ-like leadership leads by example. It's not only in submission to God and servant-hearted, but it leads by example. True Christ-like leadership provides an example for our wives to follow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. We see in Jesus that he's not only our example and he's not only our standard, the mark in which we're trying to meet, but he's also our hope as well. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose in the context of believers who are about to undergo some intense persecution and probably already started for them. Says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And here's our hope, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Jesus provided a perfect example of what it was like to entrust his life to the Father and live to please him. And as those who have been given a position of authority as husbands, we are called to provide a similar example. In fact, we are to follow Christ. And that is overwhelming to think about, because he was one who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. We are going to struggle with sin. We are going to fail. But because of Christ bearing our sins in his body on the cross, according to verse 24, we have hope as well. And notice one of the purposes for that there in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. In other words, we have the ability, because of Christ, to be the kind of men that God has called us to be. We have been given the death of Christ and the power of the resurrection as that which empowers us to live a life that pleases God. And so, as leaders, we're called to be examples. Do you establish an example to your wife and to your family as one who loves the Word of God? Do they see you reading the Word, memorizing the Word, living in obedience to the Word? Do they see you as one who prays, as one who's dependent upon God, as one who's battling sin and applying the Scriptures to their lives? Do you, men, provide a godly example for your home? Is your life disciplined around godliness? In other words, when you sit down to schedule, are your priorities Christ's priorities? And can your wives clearly see that? Does your family know, and does your wife know what it is to obey and follow Christ by watching your life? If the elder is to be the blueprint for the Christian life to the church, so the husband is to be the blueprint of the Christian life for the home. Can you say with Paul, imitate me as I also imitate Christ? He says that in 1 Corinthians 11:1. This is the call of God on our lives. John 13, Jesus provides a wonderful example as he washes the disciples' feet. That's the type of service that we must provide to our wives and the example that we must give as well. Number four, Christ-like leadership is shepherd-like leadership. Christ-like leadership is shepherd-like leadership. As one writer put it, The leadership role includes responsibility, initiative, and gracious authority. In other words, there's much that God in his kindness has placed upon our shoulders, men. That we must take initiative and give of ourselves in caring for our wives. And we do that through the gracious authority and leadership. Turn over to John chapter 10, where we see Christ in his teaching speak of a shepherd-like leadership. Two of his I am statements come here: I am the door and I am the great shepherd. Or the I am the good shepherd. I'll start in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You see there in verses 3 and 4, one who is a provider for his sheep. He leads them out into green pastures. Down in verse 9, it would even say that we will go in and out and find pasture. And he tenderly goes out in front of them, goes out ahead of them, providing for them, both physically and spiritually, food, clothing, shelter, but also instruction, biblical instruction as well. You see in verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. His voice that would speak truth. Do you know the word of God well enough to teach it to your wife and to your kids? Can you lead them through a Bible study and teach them what God means by what he says? That's the call of God upon our lives. Not only this provision through physical means and spiritual means, but by going out in front of them and providing for them pasture, but also intimate involvement. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them out and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand, and notice this, and is not concerned about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. There's an intimate involvement. He's concerned. Unlike the hired hand, the shepherd is concerned for his sheep. He knows them. I know my own, and my own know me. Men, we must be intimately involved with our wives, and not just talking sexually. We must know them. What are their fears? What are their hopes? What are their dreams? What's going on in their heart and their mind? What are the struggles of sin that you can be praying for? The areas of strengths and weaknesses. Being intimately involved in their lives. Also, correction. We see that particularly in the shepherd passage in Psalm 23, where your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And no, we are not the good shepherd. We're not the great shepherd like Christ, but he is the example for us in leadership. But we're not the good shepherd, so there is a lot of sin in our own lives that we should be seeking to deal with before we correct our wives. It's not like we're just sitting there looking for every little sinful issue and saying, oh, you need to deal with that. It's a gracious, patient, realizing that we are sinners as well. Thinking about the idea of correction. When you're providing a godly example for your wives, and when you are viewing yourself as a slave of your wife, and when you understand that the authority that God has given to you is truly a delegated authority, then when you go to confront or correct your wife, it will be a correction that is for her. It won't be about the inconvenience that her sin may have caused you. But rather, it would be about her success as a Christian, her flourishing in her love for the Lord. And you see this sin pattern that may be in her life. And so you graciously go to her to bless her and to serve her and say, look, I see this hindering you in your walk with the Lord. We are called to be able to do that. That takes time. That takes energy. That takes effort. In one sense, it takes winning her respect as well. So that when you come to her, she knows, oh, this man loves me. And he wants to help me. I want to hear what he has to say. Not only providing all the essentials, food, clothing, spiritually, as far as shepherd-like leadership and instruction, intimate involvement, correction, but also protection, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You see that in verse 13. He's concerned about the sheep. He's caring for the sheep. He goes in through the door. He's not like a thief. He's not in it for himself. He's there to care for her. Do you protect your wives? I'm not just talking about having a gun, which is a good thing. I'm talking about, are you there for her emotionally, spiritually? Men, there's no room for laziness when it comes to leading our wives. We can't pass the buck to our wives. We don't get a day off. It's like being a farmer in wheat harvest. It is just all hands on deck. We are in this thing. We must work hard at it. Just like we do with our jobs. How much more when it comes to our relationship with our wives? And this doesn't mean that we are to control everything. Yes, we are the responsible ones before God, but we aren't to control everything. A true leadership provides an atmosphere where those who are under our care flourish in their God-given abilities and responsibilities. In fact, one of the ways in which you can measure your success in leading your wives in a way that honors God is to look at your wife and see if she's flourishing in her God-given strengths and abilities. There are some men who try to control everything and their wives feel like children. We need to be able to tap into their gifted areas and strengths and be the helpers that they are called to be. And so as leaders, we provide a safe environment for our wives where they're able to strive and fail and succeed and flourish. We men are called to be like skilled florists who provide just the right water, sunlight, and the environment so that the tender flower can thrive in all her beauty. We're called to shepherd our wives. Number five, Christ-like leadership is dependent upon God. Men, we cannot do this in our own strength. I mean, what a standard, right? The standard that Christ has set. We can't do that on our own. Jesus says in John 15:5 that we can do nothing apart from Him. And so True Christ-like leadership is soaked, is bathed in prayer. If you're going to be a faithful husband, you have to be one who is always in prayer. And we see that in Jesus Christ, right? The one who had the busiest schedule known to man. If there was anybody who could use busyness as an excuse, it would have been Christ. The crowd's always pressing in. He's always teaching. He's always healing. He's always caring for the needs of others. It seems like his schedule is not his own schedule. He's there to serve others. We see in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, coming off of verse 15, but the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus himself, verse 16, would often slip away to the wilderness and pray, showing his dependence upon the Father, gaining the strength that he needed in his humanity to obey the Father perfectly. He would often slip away to pray. Sometimes he would pray all night, according to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Sometimes we just have to take a break and go to the Lord and plead with him and beg with him for his grace and his strength to lead in the way that God has called us to lead. It has to be our go-to response each day, each hour, each minute. He would even pray early in the morning. Maybe you ask yourself, when should I have my long-extended prayer time, or my time of prayer in the closet, or my devotions, morning or night, when's the best time? Well, I would say whenever you're most clear, whenever your best is, take some time and pray to God then. It could be in the morning, it could be at night, it could be because Jesus did it all the time. In Mark 1, verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. This was Jesus' life, completely dependent upon God. And if Christ was dependent upon God, so much more do we need to be dependent upon God in our area of leadership as husbands. Number six. And this is another way that we must lead our wives. It's not necessarily Christ-like, but it's something that Christ would like, and that would be in the area of confession of sin and repentance. Jesus never had to confess a sin. Think of the Lord's Prayer. We've called it the Lord's Prayer all of our lives, but it's actually the disciples' prayer, where Jesus instructs the disciples how to pray, and he tells them they need to ask for forgiveness. Well, Jesus never needed to ask for forgiveness and never will. But one of the ways that we can lead our wives is by being the first to deal with our sin when it comes to conflict. Now, it needs to be sincere, and some men are different than others. So it doesn't necessarily mean that first as far as in time, but you need to be one who when you see your sin, and however it is that you can genuinely deal with it, sometimes you've got to go take a moment and really think through so that you can ask for forgiveness in a correct way, dealing with your sin. Whatever it is, when you see it, to don't wait on your wife to initiate it. She might be quick to it, and that's great. But be the first one to deal with your sin. Think of Ephesians 4:32, certainly within the church, of how to forgive one another. Must be going on in our relationship with our wives as well. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, forgiving each other, it's a give and take. We're all going to sin. We're all going to fail. We're all going to sin against one another, especially in the home. So be ready to forgive at a moment's notice. But when you see your sin, men, let's lead in dealing with it. This implies the asking of forgiveness as well as extending it. Now, when we approach this, I love how Rick Thomas puts it. I'm the biggest sinner in the room, right? Well, we could probably find several things, especially in a heated moment where, oh, there's how my wife is acting, and look at that sin, and she's angry at this, but look at this and this. Paul said he's the chief of sinners, so then we've got to be the close second, right? Let's deal with our sin rightly. Make it clear. Don't just say, I'm sorry if you feel that I offended you. You know, ask for forgiveness. I was angry at you when you said this. Or I was selfish when we were doing this activity, or when I said this, or whatever it might be. I was sinful in this way. Would you please forgive me for treating you that way? For my anger towards you? For my selfishness? For my pride? Be clear. Take leadership. Take ownership. This has to be like the basics for you, because there's no way that you go a day without sinning against your wife. I know there's not in my life. Number 7. Christ-like leadership is loving. And we're going to spend our time next time dealing with this concept of love as a husband. We'll look at Colossians 3 and kind of launch into Ephesians 5 as well. But I'll say this, though. The husband is the one responsible to bring the love into the home. We look out at the culture and we think of love as this romantic Valentine's Day type thing, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying some romance with each other. In fact, it would probably do us all a lot of good to be romantic with our wives, for sure. But men, if there's a lack of love in your home, it starts with you. Starts with you. We are called to lead. There's a lot on our shoulders, men. And we are the ones responsible. I think of, I've said this a few times in the past. I mean, when Adam and Eve sin and God comes to deal with them, he addresses the husband first, even though it was the wife who definitely sinned first. What happened to Adam? I think that's a picture of what it will be like at the judgment seat of Christ when we as believers stand before our Lord, and we are held responsible as husbands for our home. And so I know that this is a lot to take in. It is overwhelming when you get a list like this, and really when we go into Scripture, we could even see so much more and go, how can I even begin? I see this area where I'm failing. I see this area where I'm failing. How can I even start? And in one sense, it is designed to be that way. Men, if there is one area where you might slack, don't let it be this one. This is your primary area of stewardship. It is good to provide financially for your wife, and you must. But there's so much more than that. I hope when you get a list like this, that it would produce in you some more humility. Because there's no way we can measure up to Christ. We cannot perfectly perform the role that God has called us to. And so when we approach this part of our lives, there should be genuine humility in our interactions with our bride. It should produce conviction. Because if you can look at this list and if you are and you can think, oh, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good here. I think I got it down. You're probably in a really bad spot. I'm not saying that you can't look back and look at God's faithfulness and say, oh man, wow, God, you have really changed me, and I know I've got a long ways to go. And I'm not talking about when you get asked the question, how are you doing? And, you know, it, as a husband, and you say, oh, we could all do better. And it's just like this excuse of, well, we're all sinners, so that's my way of saying I'm not really doing anything at all. But true conviction. Where you're broken because, man, God has given you a precious woman to care for and serve and bless. I mean, you get to be the sanctifying, one of the primary sanctifying influences in her life. And it shouldn't be because, despite you, she's being sanctified. It needs to be because of your impact in her heart and her life. So we need to take the conviction that sits upon us when we see a list like this, take it and say, okay, how am I going to give myself to this? Put it in your daily schedule. Put it in your reminders. Ask Siri to remind you every day, please help me to pray for myself as a husband, that I would be God's kind of husband today. Read good books about being a husband. Put it in your schedule. Put it in your calendar to evaluate yourself on a regular basis. Ask your wife how you're doing. But take whatever conviction God has placed in your heart and move forward today and be God's kind of husband. And I hope that an overwhelming list like this produces in you a genuine dependence upon God, because it should. You know, sometimes we can look at these things and we're overwhelmed. It's like, how could I ever do this? Where it should just move us to say, okay, well, I can only do this in God's strength. So I'm going to slip away as often as possible to pray. And I'm going to go before God and beg for his help, knowing that this is the type of prayer that God wants to answer. He wants you to be a godly husband. And so when you pray in Jesus' name, this truth, Jesus is going to answer that prayer. God will answer that prayer. Men, let us rise to the occasion. Let's do this. Let's stop making excuses. If your schedule is too busy, then unbusy yourself. Take time to say, what is God's priority on my life? I promise you that if you made less money and spent more time with your wife, she would cherish it. I know that if you made less money and you gave more effort into leading in this way, God will bless that. Let us truly be men of the word and lead our wives as God would have us lead them in Christ. And give of ourselves to this call of God upon our lives. Because as the book of Colossians tells us, we are complete in Christ. God has not left anything out. We have everything we need to be God's kind of husband. And so, let that be the case for us men. Father, we can look at our lives and know we have fallen woefully short. I mean, we just scratched the surface of some passages. We can see the incredible role that you have given to us as men. And what a great responsibility it is. What a sobering responsibility it is. Help us, Lord, to deal with what we need to deal with. Whatever sin it is in our life, whatever distractions we have in our life, put those aside and become God's kind of husband. Lord, I thank you for the men of this church. Shape us. Help us to provide an atmosphere for our wives and our kids that is safe, encourages holiness and humility and a love for Jesus. Help us to be able to say to our wives, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. We need your help, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.